up to date with the Yellowhammer State. This is Auburn Opelika This Morning with Ben Taylor.
Auburn Opelika This Morning, your news, talk, and information station. No Anthony this morning. Apparently no. He's giving money away today or something
yes,
like that.
Yes, he is. He's over at the Beard Eves Memorial Coliseum presenting a check alongside the AJGA to Rob Taylor and Adapted Athletics.
Okay.
We host the Moonstar Junior Golf Tournament every year over 4th of July out at RTJ Grand National. And every year there's a nonprofit wing of that tournament that we get to choose what local nonprofit to support. And this year they supported Auburn Adapted Athletics, and we raised $8,000 for them.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
It's pretty huge.
Yeah, that's not bad.
And they're using that. We actually brought Rob on to talk about the different technology that they're investing in for their athletes.
Yeah, and iPads and
everything else. Great program. Something that I believe you can still support outside of Tiger Giving and everything. If you go to their website, Auburn Adapted Athletics, you can find ways to support them still.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's a perfect segue into our guest that we have here
today.
Such
a pro.
Yeah, you know. I might have been on radio a few times.
Yeah,
and here's Ford Dyke, who's also been on radio with us a few times.
Yes, sir.
And Ford, why don't you tell them what you have coming up this weekend and how the team's looking this year?
Well, first off, let me give kudos to Ford.
Okay.
He sent me an email last night.
Did he? Did he give you notes?
Not a lot of guests do that, man.
I got you.
Not a lot of guests do that.
I'm dialed in.
Not a lot of regulars do that.
Well, traffic.
Whoa.
You know, we gotta,
whoa.
We gotta bring him up a little bit.
I know.
Give him some more coffee. He'll be all right.
Every Tuesday, Ben's over here sweating like, are they gonna show up? Do they have notes? Nobody emailed me.
No, we do have some that are like that though. but no, got the notes. I appreciate that as well. So he was looking out for coming in. I mean, that's a gentle reminder why I'm like, okay, we don't have to worry about anybody standing us up tomorrow morning at 8:05. So but what do we have coming up?
Well, preparation will win you medals.
It will.
You can't just show up and act like you're going to win something. So we have the USA.
Spoken like a true coach.
Wheelchair handball national team will be in town. We'll have 20 athletes on site at Lake Wilmore at the Park and Recreation Center here in town, just off of Ogletree. Encourage anyone in the community to come on out, support the team. We'll have our 10 staff members there. It'll be a series of training. You have the schedule. I can't rip those times off the top of my head. I got enough to remember right
can
now.
Can you really? Oh, you can't.
I've got a Friday 2 p.m. arrival. That's the only one that I need to worry about.
3:30 is when festivities begin.
And festivities will begin at 3:30.
Yeah. The training session begins.
Yes, sir.
So walk us through the training session. When they're coming in, I mean, what? Because you said that it's open for the public. So what are you guys going to be? I mean, I'm sure you got it. You said 2 o'clock arrival?
2 o'clock arrival for our athletes and staff, and we've got meetings before that.
But
I don't encourage the community to come out for the meetings. It's not very fun for them to...
It's not as exciting.
Yeah. On-court activities will start at 3:30 p.m.
Okay.
So and, all of our athletes are coming in from around the country, a variety of states, regions. We're the national team, so we train decentralized. And we're getting ready for 2026, which is a big year for us. We have a world championship coming up in September.
Yeah. That is... how cool is it? Because... Travis, you guys talk about this from time to time, like the facilities we have around here. Because I know that Beard Eves is always being used and that kind of thing. But now, Lake Wilmore, because is this the first time you guys are trained in there?
This is our third time, third separate camp. Yeah, it's been amazing. Okay. Ever since they opened, I mean, full disclosure, we were kind of the first to get over there. So I'm very proud to say that because it's such an amazing crew with Sarah Cook and Allison Hall opening their doors for us. And just the space is amazing. They've got enough room for us. They have all of the facilities, everything we need. It's fully accessible, which is important for our wheelchair national team. It's just awesome. It's out there in the woods. It's kind of a vibe, you know, off Ogletree. It's secluded in a good way.
Yeah,
we can just hyper-focus.
It's an adaptable facility, too. I mean, this past weekend, we hosted a gymnastics meet with over 400 gymnasts in there. We set that up this past Friday and then broke it down on Sunday, and then here we are 1 week later hosting a completely different sport with wheelchair handball. It's really awesome how we're able to work with Parks and Rec to make that kind of thing happen, you know.
So you got 2 different training sessions on Friday. Well, and you got 3 different ones on Saturday. So what's the difference between 1 and 2? Are we doing different athletes or What are you seeing different, or what will you do in between sessions?
So same athletes all weekend, 20 okay. total, and we have 7 sessions total in a 48-hour period, so 540 minutes of training, but who's counting? And each one of those sessions is a different protocol, a different setup. There's different intentions behind what we want to see as a staff, what we're trying to get our athletes to pull out from a skill acquisition standpoint. Mm-hmm. You know, like I said earlier, we do have a big year coming up, so this is a critical camp for us to determine where our previous players, but also we're bringing in new recruits. Mm-hmm. So it's a nice mix, and we're continuing to evolve, continuing to develop this program as we move forward.
Mm-hmm. The cohesive, having new recruits in, having new folks in, just getting them
up
to speed. Share the same room with one another and learn who doesn't like chocolate ice cream and who, yeah. who does and that kind of thing.
Exactly, for sure.
I mean, it makes a big difference. Are you, because I see this layout, are you kind of OCD about your training?
I like to be dialed in and prepared.
There you go.
So he is OCD.
How do you keep your eye on the ball on the competition, and how are you feeling about this upcoming September?
See what he said, eye on the ball? I like that. That was a nice little analogy there, Cubby. I like that one. So I have been watching a lot of film. There are European teams that just finished up their World Championship or their Euro Championship. And right now, I would say Portugal's probably the most dangerous team in the world. Mm-hmm. They just won Euro. They also won the summer tournament we were just at. We won the bronze. We took down Spain. So we're nice. 2-for-2 on podium finishes, which is really nice. We're a very young program. Mm-hmm. But I know that we have athletes that are far superior compared to the rest of the world just because of the way we develop and train para athletes in our country. So we're pretty excited for what's in front of us.
How do you pick them?
As far as recruitment is concerned,
yeah, recruitment. And I mean, because seriously, when you're, you know, because when it comes to, you know, Adapt Athletics and what they're involved in, I mean, you and I have had this conversation before. I mean, mm-hmm. some people in parts of the world have no idea what handball is. And so, and then when they're in that situation, they may go, well, this looks cool. And then all of a sudden you realize, hey, I may have a knack for it, or I've been blessed with athletic ability. And mm-hmm. so I guess that's, kind of what you're looking for and whenever you're looking at athletes.
Well, full circle, I do work with Rob Taylor at Auburn University. So I'm on the sideline. And the nice thing about that is I'm constantly looking, not just from the basketball standpoint, but athletes in general. Mm-hmm. We try to find the best athlete that can learn on the fly, learn quickly in a compressed period of time, and be able to translate their skills that they have as wheelchair athletes into a sport like handball. Handball is not much different than a sport like basketball because of the chair. Mm-hmm. So the chair skills are exactly the same. Mm. The only thing different is you're not shooting a ball into a net with a defender in front of you, you're throwing a ball into a net with a defender in front of you. So it's still the same premise. And adapted athletes, you know, no pun intended, but they can adapt. I mean, that's one of the reasons that they're so successful in the world. That's not really built for them. And so when it comes to the four lines of the floor, you say, hey, the ball is a little bit smaller, the dribbling is a little bit different, but at the end of the day, we're trying to score and outscore our opponent and stop chairs on defense. Mm-hmm. It's that simple. So from a recruitment standpoint, I'm always looking for not only the best athlete, but good people. Mm-hmm. We want to build the program around people that are not going to give us headaches, are not going to, you know, say they're going to show up and not show up.
Correct.
Or we're taking them halfway around the world and deal with something we don't want to deal with. So we're very strict on, from the staff standpoint, who are we recruiting? Are they an athlete? Check. Are they a good person? Check. Do those two things go together? And if so, we move them through our pipeline. I do have the luxury of having Rita Clanton, 84 Olympian, 96 Olympic coach. I also have the luxury of a 96 Olympian out of the Shepherd Center in Atlanta, who's Lisa Egan. She's my assistant coach. Former teammates of mine, partner in crime, other teammates. We're all pretty tight as a family and as a staff. We're bringing on a new staff member this camp from LSU. She's a strength and conditioning coach that actually just had an amputation on her right leg, and she was brought to me from a recruitment standpoint. And I said, wait a second, you're probably going to be a little bit behind from the wheelchair athletic standpoint, but you have a skill set that we can bring onto our staff from a strength and conditioning standpoint to really help ourselves not only get bigger, faster, and stronger, but to make sure our athletes are healthy when we travel around the world and we come back, make sure everybody's good to go. So we're pretty excited about this camp coming up.
What's the upcoming schedule look like after this?
So after this, we'll have another camp in May of 2025. It's our Cinco de Mayo camp, and then we'll have a follow-up camp Memorial Day weekend. And then we're starting to get prepared for that summer tournament, which is July 1st through 5th in France, in Lyon, France, which is a beautiful area of France. It's an amazing tournament. And that's kind of your reality check and your barometer as to where are you as a team and as a comparison to other countries. And then it'll be a tight turnaround. We'll have some camps in early August, mid-August, and then we go to the World Championships in Cairo, Egypt again for part two. Mm-hmm. And let's just say it's called Operation Gold for a reason.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've said that when you come in before. I said, you know, there is a you have a vision that you want to come to fruition, and it sounds like you kind of make the team aware of that too whenever you're sitting down with them. Like, we're not going for, you know, sightseeing, and that's part of it, but we're not going over there just for all for fun. We do have a mission in front of us that we have to complete. So how tough is it from your perspective? Because this is not like, you know, everybody keeps talking about how rough it's been on the new football coach, Golish, coming in and how he's drinking through a fire hose and all that. All his athletes are in one place, though.
Right.
They're all here. I mean, he gets to go get some in the portal when it, you know, when it opens in January. Yep. But for right now, all his are in one room, and if he, you know, since bowl season is ongoing, if he wants to call them back to sit in the room and visit with them and kind of do those check those boxes like you were just talking about, are they a good person, are they a good athlete? Because you were talking about watching film. That's what he's doing. Instead of studying other teams, he's studying his players to see who he can use and what he can use. You don't have that luxury. Not all your athletes are here.
Right.
You can't. You know, you can't say, hey, meet me down for coffee here and go visit with them. Now, some of them, you know, probably are. Mm-hmm. But I would – how do you juggle that? How do you balance that?
It's tough. So we coach remotely, essentially, when we're in decentralized training. And the challenge is, out of the 26 pool players, that's one thing. There's contact there because of historical tournaments or training camps, but it's the recruits that you constantly have to nurture and you constantly have to encourage. Hey, no, Auburn Opelika is amazing. Come on down, check us out. You know, see what we got going on. Hey, no, handball is not the ball against the wall. Like, you're constantly just having to sell and really make sure that they understand the vision too and they understand what the mission is. But I think what's different than the first year when we started, and it wasn't that long ago, you know, we are a young program, as I said earlier. Now the groundwork has been laid and we have two podium finishes. Mm. And so the exciting thing is, number one, athletes have heard about this and they want to compete for Team USA. Mm-hmm. And it's really, really hard to compete for Team USA. It's a national team and it should be. But number two, the most exciting thing in my opinion is, as about a month ago, November 18th, we submitted all of our paperwork for the International Olympic and Paralympic Committee for full inclusion into the Brisbane 2032 Paralympics, which will take place in Brisbane, Australia. So we will hear about this probably in about a month and a half or so, mid to late January of 26. Once we are on that docket, now the conversation changes. Mm-hmm. Now we're a Paralympic sport, and these athletes can be Paralympians. Right now, we are a world championship level sport.
Right.
So it's growing and developing as time goes on, but there is a lot of weight on our shoulders as the U.S. because everyone's looking at the U.S. and asking, are they good? Do they have the resources? Do they have the staff? Do they have the athletes? So we have pressure as a staff and as a program in more than one way. We're not here just to win medals. We are constantly pushing this sport globally, and that's why I try to tell anybody I can, from when I'm sitting on an airplane to coming to radio shows to, you know, coffee shops or being in the grocery store, just try to get as much awareness and eyes and ears on what we're doing, because I do think it's a super unique and super special opportunity what we're building.
Can you imagine, like, being on a plane with him? You just lean over, hey, man, what do you do?
It depends on the day.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a fascinating story. I mean, because it's Australia, Brisbane, Australia. That my sister, her school that she teaches at, they have a campus in Australia, so she goes twice a year. As a matter of fact, she's coming here from Boston this week. And then the mayor and I were talking about it here. So she's going back. I said, no, she leaves from here and goes to Australia to teach for six weeks. And then excited about, because it's summer over there right now and warm. And but I do not envy her in that plane ride. She tells me every time.
It's a long one. I've done it once.
It's like 28 hours.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's
28 hours on a plane.
It's a beast. On a can.
Yeah. With wings.
Yeah.
over the water.
Dude, imagine how stiff your legs are getting out of there.
I've asked her.
Back, everything.
That's the thing is I've asked her about the walking around. Now, granted, I mean, school's paying for it, so I don't think she's sitting in. She's not right. In the luggage rack or anything. I think she's doing okay, but that's a tough go, man. I even in a car, I can stop and get out of the car because we've done that whole stupid thing where you just partner drive and team drive to Montana, and that still takes 24 hours and. Mm-hmm. That still was miserable. So
let me throw this out there though for you. Imagine taking a roster of 10 wheelchair athletes.
That's exactly what. Yeah. That's what my brain went when you said Brisbane, Australia. I was like, he's got to take all the athletes, all the gear, all the stuff.
It's a beast to get them around the world.
Yeah,
safely.
Yeah,
comfortably.
And I'd imagine that like their game chairs are put into the luggage, and you got to worry about the equipment being well taken care of and arriving in one piece, right? And then they have the travel, you know, everyday chair that they use because they're not the same.
Yep. Yeah, those chairs, to Travis's point, the performance chair can run anywhere between $8,000, I've seen upwards to $15,000.
I mean,
they're essentially a used car, even now, new cars. But the way that, you know, some airlines, I'm not going to name which airlines, but France, for example, the way that they take care of the equipment is kind of insane.
Oh, I know.
To say the absolute least. And they're just looking at it as like, well, this is a wheelchair. We just need to get it on the plane. And they're not understanding that this is a tool that without this, my athlete can't compete.
Yeah, so like,
they've heard it from our staff. Let's just say that.
Oh, I imagine so. I mean, it's
France Airlines. Love Delta. Not so much France. Just saying. Just throwing it out there.
You don't have to worry about them. They're not going to take us from Auburn to Atlanta anytime soon.
Or from Atlanta to Brisbane, Australia.
You're
good.
Or Eagle.
Or Eagle.
Exactly. So anything else, man, before we get out of here?
No, that's all I wanted. I just wanted to bring
take
forward
coffee,
and, to
have some coffee.
And take your coffee and encourage our community to come out and see what he's building, man. It's incredible to be a part of. And, you know, we're watching right here in our hometowns the foundation be built for a USA national team, and that's something that deserves some eyes and some cheer.
Coach Chuck, that used to coach at Pick, and then he moved, I think, to somewhere else before he retired. He just retired not too long ago, but he was awesome. He got my girls into handball when they were little. They were trying to push it through the school system and get them involved so people would be more aware. They were shocked. You were talking about Rita earlier because Rita has been on the show numerous times, and when I introduced him, and I was like, she's there should be like a statue of her.
She's
just in case you are curious.
Her star's downtown.
like with her shaking hands and hugging on all y'all, taking pictures. I don't think you realize who was in, who was sitting there in front of you. So
most definitely.
Keep that in mind. So how can they get in touch with you? Find you, all that kind of good stuff. Don't throw your number out there.
No.
There'll be some weirdo that calls you.
No, you can like just go on Google. Listen, Ford Dyke, FORDDYKE. But search USA Wheelchair Handball. We've got social media platforms. We've got websites. Mm-hmm. We've got a bunch of stuff out there. Contact AOT. These guys, without them, I'm dead in the water. So shout out to Anthony Turling and Robin Bridges and Kat and Chloe and Travis and Aubrey. And I'm sure I'm missing a few of the team. But really appreciate these guys because man, they make my life a lot easier. So really, really.
That's what they're there for.
It's incredible.
Travis is going to ask me to clip that a little bit later on, so he can send it to him so he can make sure those bosses know he's doing what he's supposed to do.
Yeah, for sure.
I love it, man. Auburn Opelika this morning, your news talk and information station. Again, practice Friday or training, excuse me, on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, beginning at 3:30 on Friday. Another session at 6:30 on Friday. Even though the athletes show up at 2, you guys don't have to do that, but it's out at Lake Wilmore. New facility. You'll absolutely love it. Auburn Opelika this morning, your news talk and information station. You're listening to the Abbey Award-winning Auburn Opelika this morning on WANI.